I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the All By the Popcorn podcast. I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Emily.
And today we're going to talk about Wes Anderson's most recent film, Isle of Dogs, now in theaters.
Yes.
I'd just like to note that there are spoilers in this. If you haven't seen this movie, go see this movie. It's great. It's fun, especially if you're a Wes Anderson lover.
Yes, I would like to say that I personally love Wes Anderson's stop motion. I just like stop motion in general. I just think that they're so, like, the fact that it takes them forever to make them just in general, but then make them, like, really well, it just boggles my mind. Like, just how much work goes into these and just how fantastic they can end up at the end is just amazing. And I appreciate everything everyone does in order to make these movies. I love them so much.
Yeah, definitely some really notable, amazing stop motion films like Coraline, Nightmare Before Christmas,
Kubo and the Two Strings,
and also Wes Anderson's previous stop motion film, Fantastic Mr. Fox. Yeah, so yep. That's a really fun one. So, I mean, obviously Wes Anderson's, I think that this is his most ambitious film to date. It is definitely really out there. Like, just initial thoughts from my end is just honestly, like, I was watching this movie and just thinking, this is the weirdest shit I've ever seen. Like, there are so many, it was in a packed theater, so many hipsters, and we're all watching this movie in New York City
because Wes Anderson's like the hipster director. Like, that's just who he is.
Yeah. He's from Austin, I think. So that makes sense. But
yeah,
it's definitely like, so this movie definitely for me was such an experience of taking time to tell a story and just sitting with the characters and sitting with the environments and really enjoying a lot of visuals, a lot of like amazing, I just felt like you had a lot of time to breathe in this movie, you know?
Yeah, I definitely felt like with how much story Wes gives you, which he gives you a lot, and
there's
and
a lot going on. I mean, like when I say I have to
and,
breathe.
In a lot of his movies, there's always a lot going on, but I feel like he paces them out really well, like at times where there's supposed to be a climax, like it feels like slightly rushed, but like in a good way, like how it's supposed to be. Like, he just, his timing and everything he does is just very meticulous and very well thought out. His stuff is just so well done, and he's definitely one of my favorite directors right now. Maybe even my favorite right now, like just my absolute number one favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. But would you agree that this film was just the most ambitious one he's made?
I definitely think so. I actually thought, my first impressions was, I actually thought this was going to be kind of a child movie, kind of like how Fantastic Mr. Fox was, even though...
Well, that's based on a Roald Dahl book.
Yeah, true. But, like, he did add, there was, let's see, I'm trying to remember Fantastic Mr. Fox, it's been a while, but there were probably some, like, what, when he loses his tail, it's not very gruesome. I don't know. Definitely... I appreciate when people take the time to make animation a more adult film, so I was surprised that it wasn't as childish as I thought it was going to be. Just because Wes did Fantastic Mr. Fox, I know is based off a book, so I definitely shouldn't be comparing it, but I just feel like when it comes to animation, it can kind of be put into a specific stereotype when it's in, like, especially the US, where in Japan or other parts of Asia, where actually animation and other cartoon like related stuff is actually considered to be for adults. So I actually appreciate when animation can be provided to adult viewers as well as child viewers as well.
Yeah, it's like, it definitely
it just makes
goes
them more dynamic. Totally. It's not very one-sided. Yeah.
Yeah. And with animation, of course, comes just the freedom to create a world that is totally unrestricted. I mean, this movie created such a specific universe wherein it's like 20 years in the future in a made-up city in Tokyo or in Japan. And I mean, you really felt like this was a full, real, rich place with lots of different people, and you know, and then the actual Isle of the Dogs was also like they traveled throughout the entire island, and you know, obviously with a map, because I mean there was just so many, this felt like it was the Wes Anderson conglomerate that he has been creating and producing for his whole career, just all boiled down to like all of the tropes that he has in all of his movies. I mean, it's like it's like the way that the actors say the lines, the way that they convey emotions, you know, combined with the tropes of having maps, having really complex plans that go really awry, you know? And it's like,
yeah,
it was kind of like if you had a Mad Libs of just all the Wes Anderson movies and just like put in all of the little things that Wes Anderson does, it would have made this movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I really like when, like you said, tropes. I like when things carry over, because when it comes to directors, I like comparing it to their other movies. So it's nice with Wes that you can kind of look back and see a lot of similarities between his movies. Like, and I don't want to say that to where he's like routine, which I mean he is, but like I don't want to say that that's boring, because to me that's not boring. The fact that he uses maps to show you exactly where you are in this place that he makes up makes you like more, like makes you dive in more and makes you actually picture the place better. Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes movies can just leave you hanging and have you lost, like trying to figure out where you are, and it can be like some convoluted mess. But I just love how he shows you exactly where you're at a moment in time and what is happening the entire time. He definitely baby steps you through, and I really enjoy that about him, because he's just so systematic, and I love it so much.
Yeah.
A funny story about my theater that I was in, I just have to bring this up because it was so adorable. So there was a kid in the movie theater when I went and saw it. So I thought that was a little interesting, because it did have some adult, it was very gruesome as well.
Like definitely.
Some,
very adult.
Adult lines, yeah. Adult humor, which is not uncommon for a Wes Anderson film. But this was before the movie had started. There was a commercial on, or like, you know, before the trailer started, there was an ad on, and it had children in it. And, what was it? There was just a bunch of kids on the screen. And then the second it ended, the room was completely silent. And this little kid went, "I'm a cute baby." And it was so funny. We all like laughed.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
And I just had to share that because it was so funny. And it was so funny. I loved it.
That's great.
But anyway, back to the movie. Sorry. I just had to share. It was so funny.
What was your favorite dog?
My favorite dog. I really liked Chief.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston. Oh no, Chief. Okay. I like Chief, but then I really liked Oracle too. Oracle.
I was
so
gonna say
funny.
Oracle is my favorite. I loved Oracle hilarious. So much.
Oh my God.
Because Oracle was the pug that.
Yes.
I mean,
that could see the future, but she couldn't. She just understood the TV whenever it was on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
she would get visions, but no.
Like, but it's like the TV.
Because she,
Definitely, I love that dog, because a lot of what came out of the funny part of that dog was just the actual physical sight gags. You know, like the dog would be looking at the TV and something, they would say something about the Isle of Dogs, and the dog would, like, turn around and look at the camera and just, like, with a, like, on its face, you know?
Yes. And it just, the dogs were, oh my god.
They just had so much, like, that dog was hilarious because it was just, like, the expressions that she had on her face, like, about what was going on. And I swear to God, like, you know, the whole theater would just erupt in like, fits of laughter after all of these ridiculous little things would happen. Like, when they fight, you know, it looks like there's a bunch of cotton balls, you know, rolling around with, like, dog legs.
You see limbs, like, poking out just at every random corner of the cloud.
Yeah. I think I loved the animation and the style of the dogs. I have to say, I was a little thrown off by the humans. I didn't really like Greta Gerwig's character that much.
Okay.
I just didn't really connect with her, and I just thought she was, like, cool and everything, like, trying to start this protest, and she was, like, a kid. But I just thought that whole side of the plot was a little bit slow for me, even though it was kind of enjoyable to watch that one guy try to stop the dogs from being killed. So he made that whole, like, serum and everything, and Yoko Ono was his assistant. Doctor.
Yes, Yoko Ono! Yeah. Oh my gosh, I loved that. Yeah, oh, what was it? Dr. Watanabe,
yeah,
I think.
Professor Watanabe.
And yeah, that whole scene where they were testing out the serums, and this little card would just spit out and it'd say, dog, it was a dog cough, cured.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, oh, it's so funny. Like, nose rash or something.
Yeah.
What were the things? I couldn't remember.
All the little things that cause the ailment of the dogs.
Yeah.
And then they were like, we fixed this. We got this. And then they ended up murdering the guy. Like,
yeah, I'll definitely agree that the stuff that was happening in the city, I was not as into as I was with the dogs on the island. I definitely liked when we would go back to Atari and all the dogs working together, because the dogs were just hilarious. And they had so much... It's so funny seeing Wes create these characters that have so much personality but barely show any personality.
Definitely.
Like, it's really great. And that's just what makes them so funny and, like, I guess not really relatable, maybe. I don't know, depends on the person.
The cast was really great though, and it was so great.
Yes.
That they had they have all the Japanese speakers, actually Japanese people actually speaking their native language with subtitles, and the dogs just having
then,
the English was really interesting.
Yeah, I liked that, where we don't normally understand dogs, but being able to understand them perfectly through English, but then not really being able to understand, I mean, unless you're watching it in your native tongue, but, you know, not being able to understand the people living in the city. I really enjoyed that part, because
if
it wasn't the...
I liked, like, Frances McDormand as the interpreter.
Interpreting?
Yeah. She was funny.
But I liked... but you could understand just from, you know, because it seemed like they kind of covered the same stuff every time you went to the city, so you already knew kind of what they were talking about. Like, you know, dogs are bad, whatever. Let's exterminate them. Stuff like that. So even when the interpreter wasn't there, you kind of knew the general idea of what was happening, and also by the storyboarding that was happening on the screen also.
Definitely. So. Yeah. I mean, the voice acting was so, so much Wes Anderson voice acting. Like, it was, like, even
because
ever
the,
more
they
present
voice
in this
act,
movie.
Yeah, they voice act just like how the people would act in his live action films too. Like, they were just one and the same. Like, whether or not people are voice acting or actually just standing there on camera, like, it's the same.
Yeah.
And it's so great seeing those just compare so seamlessly between live action and stop motion, that it's just, you could just still expect this trope coming from Wes Anderson. It's so great.
And, you know, it's even harder with animation because the timing is very difficult to get. And you have to know how much each frame takes to make it, you know, how long it's going to take, how what the pacing is going to be like. Like, that is really hard and it's really masterful. And all of the animators that worked with him are brilliant. Like, they... like we were talking about this earlier, just completely amazing. And I mean, it's like it's hard to break down this movie in terms of like the plot because we really haven't talked about that yet. We're just
kind of, no, not really.
You know, but I just don't just even
kind of jumping around.
Yeah, I just even then like it to me was not a plot driven movie. Like I just was like not super interested. Like I was interested in what was going to happen to this kid, but I was also just enjoying every moment for what it was and every second because it's so, every scene was so rich with who knows what, like amazing lighting, you know, amazing animation and like understanding the situations that all of these dogs were in and the way that they interacted together was so enjoyable throughout that it like didn't even matter really what was going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
So let's see. What else are we talking about?
Oh, I also like to note that Isle of Dogs basically says, I love dogs.
Yeah, I saw that in the IMDb trivia.
I mean, that's... I didn't even, like, notice that until, like, right now. That's crazy. I didn't even think about that. I've been waiting for this movie for, like, a year.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. And Jeff Goldblum's been promoting this movie for a while, and he just keeps having, like, all these puppies in his hands. And, like, he's, like, he was on the Today Show last week, and he had this puppy, and it fell asleep in his hands.
Oh.
And he was, like, he's rubbing his salt and pepper so beautiful soothing. Beard on this dog, yeah. And I'm, like, oh, my God, how cute. Cute. I love Jeff Goldblum.
I bet that was just a wonderful thing to see because, I mean, not only is it just great to see Jeff Goldblum's face just by himself, but with a puppy? Damn.
Oh,
damn. Damn, Jeff. What are you... you play the video.
Sorry, I was just looking at this making of video that I'd watched earlier, and it's just like they're talking about the creation of all of the characters and everything, and I loved it. That was just so
Speaking
great.
Speaking of Jeff Goldblum, let's talk about Jeff Goldblum's character. Because
out
of the four dogs... Okay, so let's talk about the dogs right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got the first alpha pack. You kind of see... I kind of wish we would have seen some more of the other... Well, we did.
The other
we
pack. Saw the, well, they fought the, with that group of white dogs.
Yeah, like the... What are they? They're not poodles. What are they?
I don't know.
I don't know. But they look like the little mop fur dogs. But yeah, we pretty much saw... the two alpha packs, but then just the one alpha pack, which included Chief,
yeah.
Rex, Boss, Duke, and King.
Yeah.
And I don't remember which one Jeff Goldblum was.
He is Duke.
Okay. Yeah. It's pretty much, even though Duke kind of had his own little personality thing, the dogs seem to just separate to me between Chief by himself and then kind of the rest of the dogs
totally.
All together as one.
They all just work together, and every time they would, like, vote on something, all four of the dogs would, like, be on the same side, and then Chief would be on the opposite side.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are you guys a pack? You don't agree on anything.
And I just love how Ed Norton would always start the voting and like the second like, who's the naysayer and then he'd be like so of course it's Chief because Chief doesn't agree with anything you guys say,
and you know Chief was always like I'm the one who's not, you know, that wasn't a domesticated house dog, I'm like a stray and then but I loved how you were kind of like not like. The movie really did a lot of times where it caused you to rethink the whole situation. Like, it happened with Chief where he said he was a stray, but then when he got washed, he looked exactly like Spot.
Yeah, spots, because they came from the same litter, which you then found out later. I definitely liked how this, how the dog, how especially Chief's story evolved, because, you know, we could have just gone through this whole movie with the dogs kind of being as they were, just kind of going through antics, but I think it really added an element of not only surprise, but just really great character development, I thought, that, like, Chief and Spots were connected, because they came from the same litter,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of how the relationships formed. Like, even though Atari was looking for Spots, because Spots was his bodyguard dog,
yeah,
how it changed to Chief, and Chief then had a master by the end, because the whole time he was like, I don't know this kid, I don't listen to any master, and Rex, Boss, Duke, and King all were domesticated, and they would say how great it was to have a master, and how they would get fed really well, and have a good place to sleep and stuff, and Chief just didn't have, he did have it for a short amount of time. He did say later on that he did have a master for, like, what, a couple days, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then, but that, no, but he, just, like, bit, he was, like, a, he kept saying that he wasn't a, he was a biter, and so he bit one of the kids in his, like, house, like, the second day that he got adopted or something.
Yeah, he'd gotten captured by the dog catchers a few times. He'd been able to escape two times, but on the third time, he'd gotten adopted before he could escape. And so the family that took him in had two other dogs, and one day the child tried to just pet him. And it was interesting listening to him say the story. Like, he said, the kid wasn't going to hurt me. I knew he wasn't. He was just honestly going to try and pet me, and I bit him so hard that I almost took his hand off, and I don't know why. I don't know why I bit him. I guess he scared me. And that was just very interesting, because, I don't know, there's always a lot of talk about dogs and kind of how they end up the way they are if they're not well-treated or if they're not well-trained and mm-hmm. stuff. And, like, it, I wouldn't say that this was definitely a direct link into kind of the mind of a dog, because you never really know what a dog is thinking. But, I mean, a dog can be scared, just like any other type of animal, and I really liked that it brought out something special in Chief that, you know, he doesn't like to fight, which he says later, because all the dogs are like, Chief, you like to fight, go fight the robot dog.
Yeah.
Which there are robot dogs in this movie, too, if you guys didn't know.
Yeah, I know, right? Like,
which we haven't talked
that
about.
That was, like, completely so many, ridiculous, but okay.
So many aspects. Yeah. Oh my gosh, we're, like, jumping around. I'm sorry.
It was such a loaded movie. Like, there was just so much going on. Like, I have to say, I was a little inebriated when I was watching this movie, and it was, like, the most intense experience for me, because I was just like, everything that was happening on the screen was just, like, blowing my mind. Like, I was like, what is going on? Like, when they go through that, like, incineration thing, and they, like, we thought that they died, like, all the dogs that were not separated from the, like, little gondola. They, like, went through the thing, and we were like, oh my god, they died. You know, like, we just thought that they were dead for, like halfway through the movie. We're like, okay, I guess this is the way that this movie is going. Like, I just remember, like, just looking at my brother. We were just sitting next to each other, like, Like, that just
I definitely wouldn't have put it past Wes to kill off those dogs, because before all that happened, we definitely saw, we saw Chief bite off a dog's ear, and then, like, which was pretty gruesome, and then we saw some dead dog bones, so there was definitely death and definitely pain and injury already happening in this movie. So it would not have, I wouldn't have put it past them to kill off those dogs when they went through the incinerator, but,
apparently they were having, dog friendly screenings for Isle of Dogs, where you could take your dog.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Oh, that would be so cute. Oh. It is a long movie though. I mean, we're saying it's 101 minutes, which is pretty long.
Which I don't understand why IMDb trivia is saying that it's longer than Coraline, but Coraline, I don't know if IMDb's thing is just off by the minutes, but
maybe the Coraline, like, credits were longer, or, like, you know, something where it's not, like, the full movie.
Yeah, what is, because the timing on IMDb goes from beginning credits to end credits, right? Is that what it does?
I think so.
Or does it just do movie length?
Honestly, I don't know. I really think it's probably the full thing.
That's what I would think, too.
They had the premiere for this movie at the Met on March 20th.
Mm-hmm.
I just... the stuff is so close to me. And I just think about this and I'm like, why don't I just go and try to see these premieres? I really should just go. It's not like I have to deal with parking or anything.
No, you don't have a car, so why aren't you going?
I don't know. If they're going to do more premieres at the Met, I'll so totally go. I'll just be, like, standing outside. Although, you know what? It's freezing. So, I don't know. That's hard to say. Spring is coming up, though. So, all this stuff that's coming out, maybe if they have a New York premiere, I'll be able to, you know, see all the actors for every movie that I love or something. I'm just throwing that out
there. True.
How about we just speak it into the universe and then I'll be able to actually do these things?
I mean, sure. I don't know. Sure.
Sure.
So what else to talk about? So the story is just so... So I kind of want to talk about the cats for a minute. Mm-hmm. Because they're there. You could definitely see them. And I wanted to think of them as being kind of, like, the masterminds behind all of this, because everyone who was saying, like, incinerate the dogs, like, had a cat.
They always, yeah. It's like, are the cats talking to the humans, or?
And whenever, and you never heard a cat talk once.
Yeah.
So, like.
No, they don't.
Were the cats behind it?
Oh, like, that's a good idea. That makes sense, right?
I mean, because it kind of just seemed like the citizens of the city, like the mayor and, you know, were kind of just like puppets in a way, to me at least, because, you know, you couldn't really understand them. They were there just for show, pretty much. And then just every time you saw kind of like the behind the scenes stuff or the stuff on the screen, everyone always had a cat. And
oh, that's a good point, man.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also liked how, because the anything that was video recorded was drawing, right? I really liked that.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah,
all the stuff that was on screen was always drawn out, and I thought that was very interesting, and I really liked that, because it showed, even though the stop-motion figurines themselves were very detailed, I feel like the screen gave them a lot more dimension, and, you know, screen, when recording stuff, things can get kind of warped and misconstrued anyway on the screen, so it's like, it's okay that it looked different, because stuff can look different on TV than in real life, so.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I just love the art style. Definitely a fun one, and all the characters are really fun to watch, and even if they're on, like, the 2D kind of situation, it's still beautiful and amazing. I would have to say that I've heard a lot of backlash, actually, from this movie, that Wes Anderson was appropriating Japanese culture. Have you heard any of that?
No, I haven't, no.
No, yeah,
I haven't,
so...
really looked into any of...
Like, I've read a few articles about it, and people are still like, okay, well, he does have... Japanese actors in the movie. I mean, all the people who speak Japanese actually speak Japanese. But they're saying, like, is he possibly using Japanese culture for his own gain to tell this story about just dogs? I mean, why did it have to be in Japan? Couldn't it be somewhere else, like maybe even in the United States somewhere, or any other English-speaking place? And because of the fact that it is in Japan, it has a lot of Japanese art and culture intertwined within the movie. And it's definitely like a very fine line between what's cultural appropriation and what isn't. I don't know. I feel I feel like it's being a little bit too insensitive to say that this movie is just cultural appropriation, because I think it does have a lot of, I mean, I guess it has some positive Japanese things in it, but I just feel like it's just an aspect of the film, which maybe means it is cultural appropriation. I mean, who am I to say? I'm not Japanese, so it's kind of hard.
I don't know. That's an interesting topic. I don't know. I feel like when it comes to writing a story, you can really just set it anywhere. And I feel like a story can be told in any place and any time if it's done well. I mean, if it actually wasn't, if the movie wasn't done, like I don't know, if it was it being insensitive in some way, I'm not sure. If it's, I think it really depends on if the person's being insensitive, if they decide to put it somewhere different, or put it some, I'm not sure. I really have no idea. That's definitely a pretty complex topic.
It's very complex, but I just thought we should mention it because it's definitely part of the conversation about this movie. So,
and definitely just hearing about it, I don't know, I'd have to find an article, I guess, and see what people are saying. I mean, if it was insensitive in some way,
Deju didn't really notice, but it's hard because, you know, because
again, I'm not from there. Yeah. Have I visited there? I have no idea, except for what people show to me. Like, that is it. From other means.
Yeah.
So, I'm completely in the dark about this.
Well, you love Japanese culture and stuff. Like, just in general, you watch a lot of anime. And, I mean, I think that... did you like this movie more because it was based in Japan? Or did you just feel like, oh, it's Wes Anderson, it's gonna be great?
My bias was... definitely toward Wes, just because I love every movie that he's done, even though I haven't seen all of them. I've seen him, I'm getting there, I'm watching a majority of them, but everyone I've seen I've enjoyed tremendously, so that was definitely a big bias. I liked it was about the animals. I thought the story was very intriguing and interesting.
There's a lot of characters too.
Did I care that it was in Japan? I mean, definitely Japan is one of the places that I dream of visiting someday. And I do love items that have come from Japan, including Gudetama. I am obsessed with Gudetama, if no one knows. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could say if I would have cared if it took place in Kansas. I have no idea.
Yeah. I think it definitely, I mean, Fantastic Mr. Fox was all just kind of like random U.S. somewhere, right? I mean, and that was a great movie. I don't think it really like needs that aspect, but I don't think that it's as bad as people think. I mean, definitely like there are shades to every movie, and every time you're going to incorporate a different culture into a movie. I mean, who says somebody who's not from that place shouldn't be able to make a movie at least including or about that place, involving all the people who actually come from that place, you know? So I just feel like, you know, just because we're American, just because we're English speakers, doesn't mean we can't make stories about other places in the world, you know? And you have to do it correctly, obviously, but... you know, like, it was also written by a Japanese person as well. I mean, it was written by Wes Anderson, Roman Coppola, Jason Schwartzman, and Kunichi Nomura. So it's not like, I mean, that the story was by all of those people. So I feel like you have like a good, at least somebody who's from actually Japan has a say in a lot of what goes on in this movie. I'm seeing that a lot in these in this Metascore as well. It has an 81 Metascore, which I think is pretty appropriate. The lowest score is a 63, And it's from Slant Magazine, and it says, Anderson is clearly a massive talent working, again, in his prime. However uncomfortable, it's crucial to ask what gives him the right to romp around in all these signifiers and serve us as bespoke whimsy. But then the word for it isn't right, but rather privilege. And then another person who gave it an 83 from the playlist says, as far as representation goes, the stunning, brimful, extraordinary Isle of Dogs can't really be said to do anyone's culture a disservice, except cat lovers, who should probably mount a boycott.
Yeah, I don't know. That's definitely... I don't know. Now I'm just, like, thinking about it. Like, I don't know. I have no idea. My main concern would be, was it not done right to where people are, you know, offended, or if it's insensitive towards someone's culture? But, like, I don't know. It's just tough because, you know, comedians and other writers who kind of delve into stereotypes in order to get either a point across or to get a story written, like, that stuff could be considered insensitive. Like, so, I don't know. It's definitely an interesting time to be a filmmaker and a story writer.
Definitely. And, you know, it's not stopping him. He's still making it. And this movie is doing pretty well. And, I mean, they've been promoting it like crazy. I mean, I see it all over the place. So,
yeah. And you can definitely expect Wes Anderson to do a movie right, I think. Like, I definitely don't feel like any of his movies are half-assed. Like, they are completely well thought out, and I feel like he's very resourceful when it comes to making sure that things are done beautifully and well done. Not even just in terms of story, but, you know, really in every aspect of his films. They're all equally very well done, mm-hmm. I think. But. Mm-hmm.
I'm just reading some stuff on the Wikipedia page about the development. It says that right after, in 2015, he said that he was going to be making a film about dogs, a stop-motion film. And then production began in October 2016 at the 3 Mill Studios in East London. So not too long ago. I mean, October 2016, that was only like a year and a half ago, less. I mean, they made this film really fast, working on all the different parts of it, but that must have been like, you know, 10-hour days for, you know, months.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was also at the Berlin Film Festival this past year, and the South by Southwest Film Festival this year as well. And it's got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty neat, I guess. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you use Rotten Tomatoes.
That's, yeah, that's we it. Don't really use that, but definitely. No. Yeah, I mean, I liked this movie. It's not my favorite Wes Anderson movie. I think I really love, I think my favorite one is probably Royal Tenenbaums, but I love his style. I really did like this movie. I really kind of want to go see it again
in theaters. I want to see it again too.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all I have to say, unless you want to bring anything else up, because I just thought it was funny and fun, and I enjoyed a lot of it.
Yeah, I just liked... I kind of wish that we had gotten a bit more of the... of the goings-on that happened on Trash Island. I feel like it was really funny how Jeff Goldblum's character would always talk about rumors going around.
Yeah.
So I would have liked...
There are rumors, and he's like, where did you hear this from?
Yeah, like, where do you hear this stuff? And he's like, oh, you know, dogs are talking, and I'm listening. And I'm just like, but where are these other dogs? Like, I kind of wanted to see... Because by the end, all these dogs that were getting round up to be exterminated, there were like hundreds of thousands. Like, where were these all at the whole time? It seemed place was pretty desolate, but then you find out that the island is rather large.
Yeah.
And that the dogs are pretty well spread out. So I thought that was pretty funny. Because again, I was definitely more interested in what the dogs were doing rather than what the people were doing in the city, even though they tied together a lot. But I would have liked to see, I don't know, maybe like what type of clans like they formed, like delve a bit more into that. I think that would have been really interesting to just see how the dogs, because you could tell some were struggling without their masters and some were becoming alpha squads, mm-hmm. As you could see with a chief and the rest of the gang.
Yeah, the gang.
And then you kind of got a look into all of the, like, the experimented on dogs, mm-hmm. over on the very far, like, opposite end of the island.
Yeah.
So it would have just been interesting to see kind of how the dogs broke off and, like, what kind of clans were formed. I think that would have been interesting.
I mean, there was just so much going on in this movie. I feel like... And then there was the whole part with, what was the girl played by Scarlett Johansson, Chestnut... Nutmeg. Excuse me.
Nutmeg.
Not Chestnut.
Nutmeg.
Nutmeg. I thought...
I'm going with a spice, not a nut, Alessandra.
Well, it's a spice, too. Definitely, that whole situation I thought was kind of odd. And the ending ended up with Nutmeg and Chief together, right? Or was it Nutmeg and...
Yes.
Yeah.
No, Spot had Peppermint. He was together with Peppermint.
Right.
The other dog.
Right, right. And she was expecting puppies, which...
And the puppies sounded like human babies. It was so funny.
Oh, they were like these little teeny beans.
Yes. Little bean dogs.
Little beans, which is what little baby puppies look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cute. And I did like how Spots was like, I gotta retire. My wife, you know, is giving birth. And
you're like, please let me go as your bodyguard because I can't, I have other responsibilities now. And it was just so, it's so funny just how, like, human these dogs were. Because they would just talk about, they would, like, you know, spread rumors, have gossip, like,
yeah,
they,
like
they
Nutmeg.
Knew what shampoo was. Like, they knew. Yeah. They're like, how does she keep her fur so clean? There's no shampoo on this island. Like, it's so funny. Like, they're just, the way that they talk to each other was just hilarious. And I just really enjoyed it.
Like, Nutmeg's, like, whole thing was, like, she was with this other dog. But there was, like, the rumors that she was, like, mating with this other dog. And then he was going to have, like...
Felix or something. Yeah. Or Philip or something. Whatever
Felix,
the dog's name was.
And they're like, oh, you're Felix's mate. And she's like, not anymore. I would never bring puppies into this world.
Yeah.
And
so funny.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just, like, you could tell that she and Chief had kind of a rapport. And they're really cute. But she was just another one of those characters that was just like, is this necessary? Like, what is going... Like, there's just so much stuff that, like, the plot doesn't really have to... It's just kind of like, okay, another new cycle, another, you know...
Yeah, it's kind of just an added aspect just to kind of throw in. I mean, yeah, you could definitely pick out through this movie, like, maybe what really didn't need to be there... I don't know.
But it was all about, like, the experience and the, you know, like, the relationship between a kid and his dog. And...
Which is so funny because that terrible, terrible trailer came on, Alessandra, that when I was at the movies.
The Alpha one?
Ugh. Oh, no.
I have seen that trailer, like, 10,000 times. Like, I swear... For months. Ugh.
Once was already too many times.
I know.
And now I'm forced to see it every time.
Every time I go to the movies. Every time.
Go see a movie. Gosh. Oh my gosh. Like, honestly. Like, guys, please, like, let us know in the comments. Like, do you agree with this comment? That this trailer is so lengthy and way too detailed that you don't even need to see the movie anymore. Like, you don't even need to see it.
No.
The trailer tells you everything that's going to happen. You don't even need to see the movie. And I honestly thought that this movie was based off the trailer of Alpha, I thought that this movie, like, told a story better of, like, a man and his dog better than that movie is probably going to. There you go.
I mean, that movie's ambitious and everything, but I really dislike when, like, it happened with Isle of Dogs. It happened with Lady Bird for me. Like,
what?
They know, like, all of the algorithms on my Facebook and all of my Google searches and all that shit, they all know what I want, you know? So they just keep giving me, like, all of these movie stuff all the time. It's like, go see Isle of Dogs. Go see Thoroughbreds. Go see Lady Bird, you know? And it's like, it's throwing it at me constantly. And I'm just like, stop it. I understand that you want me to go see this movie. Like, chill out, you know? Like, it's like all over my social media all
you.
The time.
They're stalking you with their demographic algorithm stuff. Ah, that's another ant!
Well, I did see that 60% of the audience so far of Isle of Dogs has been under 30. So it is a very, like, the kids who love Wes Anderson, which is people who are under 30, which is us, you know?
Yep.
Go to see these movies, and that's exactly who was in the audience. It's a full house when I went to see this movie, and, like, definitely.
I saw some people over 30, and yeah. Then I saw that baby.
30s, for sure. And, yeah. Like, I'd say under 40 is probably, it's probably, like, 80% of the people are under 40, you know? It's, like, so, he's a very specific director, and we have grown up with this stuff, so I just feel like we have such a, and it's so art film. Like, you're watching this movie, and it's like, what kind of movie, like, especially this movie, would ever come out and make this much money if it weren't for the fact that he has this long reputation already? I mean, it's such an out there movie. It's just, it's a really odd movie.
But I like odd, and I like that he is odd. I like odd stuff.
Yeah, of course. But it's like I'm trying to say, like, if this just came out without the pedigree that he has, without the, you know, it might have had a spark of, like, wow, this is crazy and cool and new. But I feel like people would be reacting to it differently. We react to this movie based on the previous movies that he's made. You know, like, it's so hard not to do that.
Yeah, kind of like going into a, what's his name? Oh, dang it, what's his name? The guy that made, my brain.
What movie are you talking about?
Strictly Ballroom.
Oh, Baz Luhrmann. Yes. Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah.
Definitely same type of director, and you kind of have to be prepared before going into one of his movies.
Oh, completely. And I mean, even like when we were watching the TV show, the Get Down, I mean, that was seen through the lens of all of these Baz Luhrmann movies that we've seen. I mean, that's probably why we could tolerate it, where people watched that show and they were like, what is up with this? This thing is crazy, you know?
Yeah, because we're already used to it.
Yeah.
And
we like it, where some people don't like it.
No longer phased, yeah. Oh, I love it. Love it so much.
Well, Wes Anderson is very likable in some way. I feel like definitely he's got this seriously specific aesthetic and seriously specific way of telling stories and the way the actors are in all of his stories. So, I mean, we knew this going into this movie, and he's still surprising us. I mean, it was the most dense, I think, of his films. I mean, I think Grand Budapest was also pretty dense and pretty wild, but that was also live action, so it was limited to certain things. But I really loved Grand Budapest. I think that one really, to me, I loved the production design on that, like, even more than this movie.
Yeah.
Just because it had that, like, European flair that I really love, and I love the, like, Alps and the pink and, you know, that kind of stuff, where the color palette from this movie was definitely more yellows, more blues, you know, whimsical in a different way.
Yeah. And even if you're not fully there for the story that Wes Anderson's giving you, like, you could just, like, appreciate just appreciate just what's on the screen. I mean, he always has like these beautiful symmetrical scenes in that are just so great to look at, and the characters are always so lovable and stuff, so it's,
yeah,
it's not like
the dogs are so sweet, and they do these really hilarious like looking back at the camera and opening their mouth stuff like when shit happened. Yes. I just that it happened like, yes, so often that it was so, it's just so great, you know, it's just like acknowledging how hilarious this is like while you're watching it, you know, like it's so self-aware. Yeah, like,
what were they talking about? But there was some, a dog was talking and one of the dogs just kept looking at the camera and it would just get closer and closer to his eye. Like, yeah, what was happening? I can't even,
oh,
can't even remember.
I don't remember. But like
something dramatic or something was happening. And
yeah. Well, I remember like the very beginning when Atari's plane is crashing and they see the black smoke cloud, which is just black, what am I trying to say? Black cotton balls. That's cotton ball.
Okay.
Black cotton ball cloud is going up into the sky, and one of the dogs literally just turns to the camera like, did you see that? You know, like, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
And it's just, he doesn't even, like, say it. He just looks at the camera, and it opens his mouth like, what? Like,
I love when they were looking over at the plane, and they were saying like, oh, he's getting too close to that telephone pole. He's going to lose a wing. And then he loses a wing.
And then you're, it like, happens.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. Yep,
he lost a wing.
And they're still like shocked. They're just like, it's, oh my so God.
Funny.
But like in such a slow, hilarious, like nonchalant kind of way, which is like all of Wes Anderson's films. But he also shows emotion where it's like the girl is in love with Atari and, you know, the little bubbles of tears like well up in her eyes, and you know, like, he's, yeah, not afraid to show that.
The crying, I like the crying animation that they added. I really liked that. The just
very Japanese, you know,
glistening wet eyeballs.
Yeah, and they're just like showing this very, even the way that he deals with like death, like when they thought Spots was dead, it was kind of like, oh, that's, you know, that's really unfortunate. And they, like, feel bad for him and everything, you know. It's not like they're unfeeling or anything like that, but it's just such a specific kind of emotion, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, anyways.
If any of this sounds interesting to you, definitely go watch I Love Dogs.
Yeah, I mean, you've already... If we kind of spoiled I guess, but really not that much because you really have to see this movie.
Yeah, definitely just us explaining it does not do it justice.
No.
Like, just like trying to explain the plot of like Grand Budapest or even Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh,
like
you have to
experience these movies in person. Like us just telling you the story does nothing. Like it's really just an experience. It's not.
This is not indie, okay? Like we can't just like explain exactly what's going on because that's so straightforward.
Because even though his stories may seem pretty straightforward, they're so much more convoluted than we even describe, so.
Definitely. There's so much going on. There's so much to see. I loved this movie. I definitely will see it again. It's just fun and weird, and I love weird. So, yeah.
Yep.
And I guess we'll just wrap it up then.
Sure. If there was something we didn't talk about and you want to bring up in the comments, go ahead. You can also like and rate this podcast on SoundCloud or on iTunes or whatever platform you're on.
Apple Podcasts, though.
Can you comment? Oh, sorry. Can you comment on like any podcast platform or just like specific?
No, it's like just the websites like Apple and SoundCloud.
Okay. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search All by the Popcorn Podcast on Facebook.
We also have email, so you can email us at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com or allbythepopcorn@gmail.com. And we also have a Twitter run by Emily.
Yep.
And the handle is @bythepopcorn. And I'd also like to introduce our very brand new Instagram that I set up this week.
Yes.
And Instagram. You can find us at I'll Buy the Popcorn Podcast. So that is really exciting. We're promoting all the stuff that we do on there, including our Pride and Prejudice radio play, which you totally should go listen to. It's so great and super fun. If you're a Jane Austen fan or just like a radio play fan or just like a fan of our podcast, we'd really appreciate you to listen to it. It's super fun.
Yeah, and if there's anything you'd like us to talk about or discuss that you've seen recently that we haven't really talked about, go ahead and email us those or leave us comments. We're definitely looking at the comments, and we really appreciate them to anyone who comments. I think our next one's going to be Indie, Alessandra, is that right?
Yeah.
Next Indie?
Maybe. Or Ready Player One or something.
Yeah, those are the ones up next on the queue.
Yep.
So definitely stay tuned for those, and we will talk to you guys next time.
Yep, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.